Representative Christy Purcell.
Good morning.
Good morning, Representative
Purcell. It's a beautiful day.
It is indeed a beautiful day, is it not?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
I have a little craggly voice. We're getting close to spring break. I think my body is like, we're tired. I think I'm coming down with a cold.
Why, so. Why are you still doing things?
How was things up at the Capitol this week? I mean, I know that it's sort of the mundane. There's nothing mundane about creating a budget, right? Except it's all mundane at the same time. It's one of those things that, I don't know. You tell me what.
Well, so yes, it is budget season.
Yep.
So after I came on last week, governor released his budget targets, or maybe he had already, and then the Senate released their budget targets, and then the House released their budget targets.
And I saw that on your report last night when you posted from Instagram. I didn't even know that the targets had been released.
So these targets aren't like what it's going to be in the end. So the last 2 years, what we have done is called joint targets. Mm-hmm. So leadership from both bodies and the governor's office have agreed on kind of that final number for each committee area, mm-hmm. basically.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a tie in the House, because the Senate has a two-person DFL advantage, mm-hmm. and because the governor's going to governor, everybody came up with their own targets.
Yeah.
So different ways of meeting the projected shortfall in the tails, different levels of addressing that. And I guess that's how it was always done until 2 years ago when we had the trifecta. So there's just going to be more, I think the word I used was finagling, but there's more compromises and that's going to have to happen because none of us are starting from the same like final number.
Right.
So that's where like, you know, we're kind of deciding to do our own thing. Mm-hmm. But even then it seems like co-chairs kind of can't necessarily agree.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to make things really interesting.
Uh-huh.
So is this, I mean, did each committee get their own budget
yes.
target? Okay. All right. Yep. So you're on the education committee.
Nope.
No, you're not.
That was last time around.
All right. You're on the energy.
Nope.
No. What committee are you?
Yes. Thank you. I'm co-vice chair of the environment committee.
Right. That's okay. I knew it was one of those E words.
Yes. Last time I was on three E committees and then agriculture A committee. So that's how I would remember. But now I'm only on three committees. I still have trouble remembering. Okay. So co-vice chair of the environment committee. Then right. I'm on the rules committee. And then I am on the health committee.
Okay. Rules committee doesn't get a budget target because there's nothing to budget. Is that right?
I think maybe they would if we thought we were going ahead with like a constitutional amendment.
Okay.
But maybe not.
All right.
I know that's like the only thing we have kind of the like actual jurisdiction over.
Mm-hmm.
And we did hear some of those bills, but they didn't make it off the House floor.
All right. So with the environment committee and the
health
committee, the ADHD is strong today. What do those numbers look like? Are there reductions?
So yes. So the health budget is large.
Yes.
Basically because our largest budget areas are Department of Human Services and Education.
Mm-hmm.
And then health is kind of right up there. And in the Senate, those health and human services, we have two different committees. In the Senate, they're combined.
Okay.
So I think in our targets, we have them separated out. In the Senate, they don't because mm-hmm. of just how things work a little differently. So I believe there is a small reduction in the health committee.
Okay.
And then I'm trying to remember, I think there's a small reduction in environment committee as
okay.
well.
Right.
But and then like some committees are just zero.
Yeah.
So there's no reduction, but there's no increase.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Some do have an increase. And again, this is all like this is the beginning of the process for
yes.
how the sausage
yes.
gets made.
Yes, exactly right. Mm-hmm. Isn't this fun?
I mean, it's like intellectually interesting to me because it is different than how we did this 2 years ago.
Right.
So I'm hopeful that I will be named to a conference committee as co-vice chair of the environment committee. Because, well, I don't even really know what's coming out of the Senate Environment Committee. So that will be interesting to then like look and see what their priorities are versus ours and then try to reconcile that.
How much communication is there between the House and the Senate?
Oh, none.
Or even the education, like within the party, do the Democrats on the Senate Education or Senate Environment Committee talk to the Democrats on the House Environment Committee?
I hope that the chairs are doing that.
The rank and file, even though you are vice chair, I mean, the rank and file necessarily.
Oh, no. It's, really? Oh, totally. This is, people will be like, well, what's the status of that, you know, whatever, like a bill that I'm carrying? Oh, what's the status of it in the Senate? And I'm often like, they could be on a different planet. Yeah. I know we work in the same building, but.
That's about where the buck stops.
Do not know. And it's so much to just keep track of what's going on in the House that it feels impossible. Yeah. So I'm like, someone tell me what the status is. What are they doing over there? And their committee structure is different.
Right.
Their schedule's different. It's a whole.
So like for a while, I growing up, I lived in a town that had two high schools, right? And you kind of knew all the people in the other, who all the other people in the other high school were, but you didn't know them. Is that sort of the same thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely.
You're like, I know they exist.
I know they exist.
That's about it.
They're doing stuff. But, well, and then, I mean, I have had a hard time even like seeing senators.
Really?
Like, because their like floor schedule is so different. It used to be, once we're all on the floor a lot more, my little button gets me onto the Senate floor. Mm-hmm. And that is literally the only time in the last 2 years I would have to like go in there and like go up to people at their desks and be like, so you haven't replied to my email. And I mean, sometimes that's not always true, but it's just like they're in their own world doing their thing. I'm in my own world doing my thing.
Yeah.
So it was a little shocking when I first got there of how little. I mean, literally, like, even the times where committees are and, like, when lunches are scheduled, those aren't even the same. So it's just,
yeah.
It's very little opportunity for you to even communicate when you're on completely different schedules.
Because the Senate doesn't want to be told how to Senate, and the House does not want to be told how to House.
Right. But you guys, I mean, if you want to get an actual law passed, you've got to find someone in the other chamber, to work with,
or do a lot of finagling during conference committee.
Wow.
So that's what is, I mean, kind of boring, but kind of interesting in the like budget season. And then today is a deadline. Today is first and second deadline, which means that if we actually only have one committee that's all policy that doesn't have dollars attached. Mm-hmm. And so bills that are going to end up in our final policy bill need to have gone through the committees by today. And basically that has happened. And now it's like the chairs, my understanding, my chairs are then the chairs of that committee are negotiating.
Okay.
And then they'll come up with something that meets the House. I guess the policy doesn't have a target, doesn't have a dollar amount, but they'll come up with something that's agreed upon by today. And then again, it will be like going up against the Senate version. But then next week, Friday, is really like the big deadline, which is the third deadline, which is a deadline for all finance bills, anything that has a fiscal impact. Mm-hmm. Essentially, like, that work has kind of been done, and so chairs are like negotiating and in that kind of sausage making phase of, you know, like swapping bids back and forth of like, this is what I, you know, what our priorities are to meet this target, and then the other co-chair can be like, well, this is our bid to do that, so that by Friday next week they're a little more buttoned up.
Okay. All right.
That's my understanding. Again, I just work here, so.
It occurs to me that this is your second budget. No, it is your second budget. You have yet to be part of what I would consider to be a traditional budget process.
This is what I was just talking to someone about. 2 years ago, I came in, $17 billion surplus. Everyone's it's unprecedented. Then this year with a tie, it's unprecedented. Yeah. I was like, what I would give for precedent. Yes. I have no idea what that's like. And maybe that time doesn't exist anymore.
Maybe.
Which was something that was floated, where on the list of things that I have, to talk about, like the 170 plus layoffs at the Department of Health because of the, I don't remember if it was billions or millions that was cut from the federal government to fund our Department of Health, as we're seeing bird flu spike, as we're seeing, it's just like, so then that continues to, literally every day, it's a new thing that then blows a hole in our budget, mm-hmm. and we have to try and remedy, which we can't. There's not enough funds, and it's like this is happening. We're trying to make a budget based on things that we're assuming mm-hmm. aren't going to change because historically they don't, but they just might in 2025.
Right.
So that has been tricky to say the least for us to then try to make a budget.
Yeah.
When stuff is changing every day in a big way, not just on the margins.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we're a part-time legislature.
Right.
May I remind you?
Which just...
So hopefully nothing will happen from the federal level after May 19th. Yep, probably chaos and confusion will stop.
Everything will be... They'll just shut it down, like you guys.
It'll just be great. Yeah. And then we won't have to be called back for a special session to deal with some kind of emergency change from the federal government because we are not positioned to deal with that sort of thing because back in the day... Yep. And, when our government was originally started, legislators only came in every other year. I think Montana still does that. And basically, all you then have time to do is just basically pass a continuing resolution, just like the bare bones keep the lights on. Mm-hmm. You're not able to actually, in my opinion, make adjustments for the world.
Right.
How many years later since we became a state? And just the complexities of, HHS, Health and Human Services, and all of the things that, our system still hasn't caught up. In the 70s, we changed to meeting every year. Mm-hmm. But...
Because it was every other?
It was, yeah.
Wow.
So this is just, I think we're really going to see... And then it's like, then we're just relying on the executive branch and our judicial branch to keep it going. We're supposed to have three co-equal branches, but if our legislators aren't... there for more than half the year, I don't know how that goes. So this is a drum that I beat often, that it just doesn't feel like three co-equal branches.
All right. So speaking of beating your drum, what are you working on right now?
Well, so Monday we head off for Eid, the end of Ramadan. I have some Muslim colleagues, and it was really lovely for them. They got to celebrate. Our spring break will coincide with Easter and Passover. Mm-hmm. So similarly, folks who celebrate that will not have to come into the Capitol. But I went to a Minnesota Farmers Union town hall in Orinoco on Monday. Mm. And room was packed. Lots of farmers and farm supporters who are really worried about tariffs, who are really worried about, getting potash from Canada, getting worried about... the tariffs, and just really voicing their concerns, so that we didn't solve it all, but it felt good to sort of all be in the room together and thinking about agriculture and how our rural communities are going to be impacted. Monday was also Trans Day of Visibility at the Capitol. I did not go to that, but happy Trans Day of Visibility to all who celebrate. And then I had some interesting constituent meetings this week that I wrote down. So folks from Isaiah, I think they were all from Northfield. I think there were at least five of those folks who came up. really concerned about the bill to delay the implementation of paid family medical leave and some other issues for kind of quality of life. I met with the student at New Prague High School who is working on trying to get a civic seal. I thought of you, Rich, because I feel like you would be down with this. A civic seal for graduation.
Oh.
So we have... oh, shoot. I forget what the other seal is. But there's some kind of a like little seal you can get on your diploma.
Yeah.
And there's this group of students who are like, you know what? If you're civically minded and, you know, 12 other states have this and there's different kind of requirements in all the different states of what qualifies you to be civically minded. And, you know, it's a partnership, I think, with the YMCA who are working on this. But, you know, this is a student who's really engaged in what's happening civically and is really civic minded. And so I just thought it was so cool. I was not that engaged at my senior year of high school.
Right.
So that was a really interesting conversation. I learned a lot, and he's going to send me more information.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, we want young people to get engaged so that that builds, you know, voters for life and people who are civically engaged. I did present one bill this week. Excuse me. It is for to supplement providers of rural health care. So we know, or sorry, child care. We know that child care is difficult to come by all across the state, but this is a bill specifically that would provide additional funding above and beyond in towns of, I think, 2,500 or less. So we did have a testifier who called in on Zoom to testify from Dundas, and then another rural provider got to testify as well.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's my first bill presentation in the Children and Families Committee.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun.
The provider from Dundas, I'm sure, couldn't be at the Capitol because they had... they had to work.
Taking care of small people and being from a rural place. Sometimes the capital is not the most accessible.
No. Awesome.
Yeah.
So with that bill, I'm just curious, would this provide more funding to the individuals or to the providers themselves to lower the cost for the individual?
The latter, the providers.
Gotcha.
Yep. So it's so complicated. I mean, the cost of care in Minnesota in general, you know, it's elder care, health care, child care. Mm-hmm. And so this is just sort of one tool in the toolbox.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially, it's not, you know, pretending to be the solution.
No, of course not. But I love that you're taking something that is very practical that a lot of people would benefit from and be able to just say, hey, you know what, we're going to throw some more dollars this way so it'll help bring that cost down for you. I think that's wonderful.
And we need these providers all over the state. We need them to stay open. And so trying to listen to what the needs are from these folks. So,
yeah.
So good, you know, had a good number of representation of the people of 58A up at the Capitol. And that's always my favorite part. So,
awesome.
Yeah. And one more week and then we'll have a week off for spring break.
Nice.
So there I will be back with you next week, Friday.
Okay.
And then I'm going to take a beat.
Off. Yeah.
And then I'll come back after Easter and then that following Friday.
So. Oh, he certainly helps.
Very cool.
Well, I certainly hope so, too.
Well, well deserved. And we hope you enjoy your upcoming time off.
Thank you. One more week. I can make it.
You can do this. take some deep, deep breaths. And
I think, you know, the timing works for our committees and stuff, but it's a really late spring break because it's a really late Easter.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
Ooh, I mean,
I'm gonna be ready.
You guys get back from break and you've got essentially 3 weeks. Maybe 4 weeks.
It's the it's the big sprint.
Yeah.
Because so then we'll have to pass our individual committee budgets off of the House floor in order for them to then go into conference committee with the Senate.
Right.
And then whatever comes out of conference committees, then we have to pass those bills off the floor again. So it's going to be, committees will essentially be over and then we'll just be spending lots of time on the House floor.
There you go.
Special session.
No, there's nothing special about a special session. We're hoping May 19th.
I'm looking into my crystal ball right now and I'm seeing, oh dear. Okay. Thanks, Christy.
Thank you.